Our reading for tonight is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 20, and I'm going to read through 6, 13. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardship, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to admit, after a year of Lent, I'm not ready for Lent 2, the return of the ashes. A year ago, I still made the pancakes and bacon. I'll admit that afterwards I was a little bummed out. We didn't have a great turnout that night. I was wondering if it was time to set that meal aside for a year. Of course, I imagine if we'd been told that within those 40 days everything would be shut down and there would be people that we might not see again, that Fat Tuesday meal might have been well attended. I recognized it too late to reprint it in the service, but I really think those last verses 11 through 13, which the lectionary cuts for some reason, are key to understanding the passage. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affection. In return, I speak as children, widen your hearts also. It's the feeling of weariness that's on me. I'm tired of masks. I'm tired of trying to breathe through them while running 4 miles. I'm tired of things like vaccine distribution not working because we're too concerned about who gets it in their place in line, instead of just getting it to everyone. I'm tired of having to care about and look up completely arbitrary rules that some guy on a power trip made up. I'm tired of not being able to see someone in the hospital. I'm tired of having to worry that extending a bit of grace in a time of need we'll end with one of our neighbors ratting on us and a policeman at my door. I'm tired of my oldest daughter completely losing her junior and senior years of high school. I'm tired of the phrases, I didn't make the rule, and be safe. They are both on par with Nuremberg defenses now. And I'm weary that my list of weariness could go on. John Donne, who we might know as a poet, but in his day he was the language's greatest preacher. At about this very time in 1624, he gave a sermon reflecting on sickness that included a reflection on the causes of disease. And he said, I'm clipping a little bit here, diseases and bodily afflictions are sometimes inflicted by God for punishment, not purgation. Like Judas hanging and Herod being eaten by worms were their entry into eternal torment. Sometimes they are inflicted so that the glory of God might be manifest in removing them, like the man born blind. Sometimes for our humiliation, like St. Paul's thorn in his side. And then sometimes they are for trial, like Job, that we might come to know God's will. I was thinking again through my weariness, which I might imagine, or I like to imagine, is shared, if not in particulars, then in general, and Dunn's categories. I certainly pray that this is not just a due punishment. Although I have to admit, after reading the Old Testament prophets and the Bible studies recently, I'm not so sure. I also don't think that it's to manifest the glory of God by removing it. I think there is, though, a bit of humiliation. I don't think you'd see the pratfalls like Governor Cuomo if that wasn't in there. But I think it might be more like Job in trial, carrying around sin is tiring. Carrying around sins that we can't give up is more so. I read a moving eulogy this morning by one friend for another who drunk himself to death at a terrible young age. He wrote, "It takes a while, it takes a long while to kill someone still that young." Yes. It does. The goodness of God's creation remains, even when we do our worst. Even worse, though, are not those sins that we're addicted to, but those our hearts are not wide enough to comprehend. Job's sin, if there is one, was imagining that he was owed an explanation by God. Who is this who darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? God asks him. And at the end of God's chastisement, Job responds, "Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." For such a good man as Job, it took such a terrible happening for him to see that pride. And this and that is the ultimate reason that keeps our hearts small, that we restrict our affections. Because to humble ourselves hurts our pride. We would rather carry around our sins like Marley's ghost than admit them. We would rather continue to shrink away from like all of the shades in Lewis's Great Divorce than let God free us from the sins that bind our hearts so small. If I'm guessing at the lesson of the weariness, It's a direct question from God. Are you tired yet of carrying your sins? Do we know just how weary we were to begin with? And how weary sin still makes us? Yet Paul's imploring remains. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, Christ bore all of our weariness right there. Everything that weighs us down has been put onto that cross. The sinless one became sin so that we might become righteousness. Think about that. He became sin. All of the grief and all of the shame that we bear, all of the weariness that we give ourselves, He's already carried. So put it down. Today is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Put down your sin and accept the grace of Christ. Today there is no obstacle or hindrance to this. I'm not Paul. I can't boast of afflictions or beatings or imprisonments. The highest in his list that I might claim is truthful speech. And even that might just be Job's pride. But my imploring is not based on myself. It's based on Christ and Paul's work. If you feel that weariness in your bones, accept the grace of Christ and put down that sin. Widen your hearts that the righteousness of Christ might be made manifest. Even if the apostle speaks to us as children, it's for our good. That we might not receive the grace of God in vain, but that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen.